You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Precious angel, under the sun, how was I to know you'd be the one?
Well, I'm sure many of you are wondering why in the world I would be introing Sinead O'Connor with Bob Dylan. This song reminds me of her. That's kind of how it goes. Straight up. This song reminds me of her. I think of, which is odd because I don't know whether Sinead would see herself as a precious angel. She probably does. Listen, Irish multi-platinum selling artist Sinead O'Connor has just released her 9th studio album entitled How About I Be Me and You Be You. One of the best titles I've ever heard. Produced by long-term collaborator John Reynolds, it includes 9 original songs that touch on love, loss, religion, and hope. And one cover, John Grant's Queen of Denmark. Sinead has been playing the new songs during a series of critically acclaimed live shows in the UK, and The Guardian writes, O'Connor sounds on form, focused, and fervent again. That's good alliteration there. With a career spanning over 25 years and millions of albums sold worldwide, Sinead first rose to fame in the late 1980s with her debut album, The Lion and the Cobra, and then received massive worldwide success with her follow-up album, I Do Not Want What I Haven't Got. Quite an honor to have this lady on our show, Sinead O'Connor. How are you today?
Extremely well, thank you. I'm quite hoarse because I've been singing way too much and not going to sleep on time. And so forgive me if I'm a little hoarse, but your producer said you like horses, so we're okay.
That's right. Thank you. I got to just start off this interview by explaining something a little creepy, okay, if you don't mind.
Oh, yeah, can I explain about Precious Angel, by the way, is the most important thing that ever happened to me my whole life, is that song. Is that because I was 11 years of age, my brother Joseph came home with that album. And that was the first, you know, Bob Dylan song I ever heard. And I'd been longing to hear religious music that was cool, you know, and that just was different to what was here in Ireland, which was quite boring, frankly. And that track, you'll never know what that means to me. I don't know if that's why you played it, because you know what it means to me. But if you didn't, then it's quite amazing that you played it, because that song is my cornerstone.
All right. You just...
I don't think of myself as a precious angel. That's not the point. But it's what his presence... it provides, and yeah. That song is quite staggering.
Yeah, Little Birdie did tell me that that song meant quite a bit to you. So I thought, I thought I'd risk it.
This is an amazing coincidence if this guy has just picked it.
Here's the creepy thing. When I started doing research on you, I thought, okay, typical, you know, celebrity research that I would do. And I put a fair bit of effort into this stuff, but geez, I got hooked into your stuff and your interviews and then I had a dream about you last night, Sinead, and I just thought I'd start off this interview on something incredibly awkward by mentioning I dreamt about you. Is that okay?
What was the dream? Tell me what the dream was.
No, I'm not.
Go on. Was it romantic?
Let me just read something here.
Was it romantic? Stop it.
Anyway, turning red.
Oh my God! Oh, I'm very flattered. Thank God, someone is having a romantic dream. Thank you.
Oh, boy. Okay. breathe. Charlotte Carter from British Columbia wrote on our Facebook page, OMG, I hope it's recorded live, this interview with Sinead on our show, because I'm not going to be around. Universal Mother got me through church anger. I absolutely love and respect her.
Is it live, this interview?
Yes, it is.
Right, okay. I'll watch myself.
Yeah. So, listen, I have quite often, because I'm sort of the, I guess, a bit of the black sheep in the world of, you know, Jesus radio or whatever. And I, every once in a while, I'll have someone come up to me and say, look, thank you for saying it like it is, or thank you for being genuine. I've talked a lot about this last year and a half going through a crisis of faith. And, you know, you don't hear a lot of people with a microphone, you know, on Jesus stations talking about this stuff. And so I would imagine you get the same. You get a number of people coming up to you and saying, finally, somebody saying it like it is. And this, of course, this girl here says, Universal Mother got me through church anger. How does that make you feel?
Well, I guess, what's the best way to put it? I suppose I agree with Lee Perry, who's a great, one of the guys who's the cornerstone of reggae music and one of the founders of reggae. music when he says that music is the Holy Spirit, and it is part of the Holy Spirit, a big part, definitely. And I love that. I think what I can do with music is be a bit of a light, is what I would call it. That's what I love about Bob Dylan, although I don't compare myself to him creatively speaking, obviously. But what I love about him is that, you know, without him having to open his mouth really, or it isn't really about the words he's saying, but just by his presence, you know that there is a Holy Spirit, you know. Mm-hmm. And I like when I hear that someone says my records have helped them to, you know, perhaps somehow get in touch with that part of themselves, if you like, you know.
You know, it's interesting, as much as it's funny, we actually are doing this interview about Sinead O'Connor, even though we're talking about Bob Dylan so much, but it, you know, for Bob Dylan to have such an impact on you, and then for you to stand on that stage during that Bob Dylan, you know, tribute thing or whatever, and to be such a young girl and stand there so firm, and now yeah. hindsight, we look back on that and we go, well, Sinead, you were prophetic. I mean, that was a prophetic moment.
Well, you know, what's very interesting is it kind of relates back to the previous question when you first asked me. What passed through my mind to also say was that in your world, in my world, I deal with something that in your world you possibly don't deal with, which is that in the secular, for want of a better word, and excuse the word, world, people unfortunately think you're crazy if you believe in God.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the proof to me that religion has failed, if you like. It's hilarious that you know, the Holy Spirit, if you like, has become such a joke and has been made such a joke of by the behavior in the presence of the Holy Spirit by so many religions, and even Jesus has been brought into such disrepute and made a joke of, that people in the secular world think you're a mockery if you believe in God. And that links into what happened at the Bob Dylan night and the whole thing, because to me, why I was able to stand there was faith, and also instructions. You know, the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, you're going to do it, and it's a bit like a sergeant major, isn't it? Like, you never regret saying yes to God, but if you say at any point, which I did in my childhood, certainly, you know, and that record would have been a great help along the way, if you say you want to be a servant in any way of the Holy Spirit, then, you know, it's going to strip you bare. It's like joining the army. It's a sergeant major. It's going to strip you bare to the point where you're not insubordinate, and you'll just stand and do what you're told. So that's why you can stand at Madison Square Garden or whatever and just do what you're told. And yeah. that's the thing, you know what I mean? All through my mind, going through my mind at the time, standing there was, there. You know, I understood in that moment why the Rastas call God Dread. You know, the test is, will you do what you're told no matter what happens to you? Mm. You know what I mean?
So. Well, here's a quote from you that segues quite nicely into this. When it comes to religious music, there is a very fine line between cool and very uncool. If you start writing songs about the New Testament, you're doomed no matter how you say it. People have such a prejudice about it. If you start writing songs about Jesus, you know no one is going to listen to you. Obviously, I do believe in Jesus, but I'm not stupid. Do you see how I did that in the end there? That was kind of...
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately, I think we have to box clever. In my world, those of us who do believe, you know, I don't believe in telling anyone what they should believe or what they should do. I really don't. I don't believe in proselytizing. But who I am is I'm someone who's passionately in love with the Holy Spirit and has been in a very intense relationship with that Spirit since I was a child. I believe that Spirit is underemployed because I believe it's made a very bad mistake in giving us free will, and it therefore can't intervene unless we ask it to help. And when I study the New Testament, I study the Gospels, I see the Jesus character amongst many things that he's doing is talking about the science of the human voice and calling out to that Spirit and how that Spirit will answer you. And in fact, when you study the Jesus character, my interpretation of him is, in fact, his whole raison d'etre, if you like, is that he's an anti-religious character.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, that God has actually sent him almost as an apology, but also to tell you and to use a human voice, which is very interesting. Why didn't God just say it himself? Yeah. He's telling you about the human voice. And I guess I just feel passionate about, you know, just letting people know that there is, you know, that Spirit, if you like, and that religion's made a bit of a joke out of it, unfortunately. And I think we could fix this world quite quickly if we were to, get some belief together and ask that Spirit to actually intervene for our greatest good or for its greatest intention for us, if you like, you know. I guess I think that's important, but I don't know if I wandered off the point. I'm not quite sure now what you asked.
That's okay. I mean, you're everything you say I track with, because I'm incredibly ADD. It's one of my spiritual gifts. Okay, Sinead, you've called this album of yours How about I be me and you be you, and you've got this wee little girl on the front with, she's sticking her hand out and sort of, you know, talk to the hand kind of a thing. And you've called this a girly record because it talks about girly things, like the wolf.
Yeah, I call it a womanist record. It's a very womanist record. It's quite rich.
Well, so like,
very romantic record.
Like the wolf is getting married, of course, thanks to that Muslim cab driver for that one.
Yeah.
Great stories, great feel, well produced. One of the better produced CDs that I've heard in at least 3 years.
Yeah.
Well done.
Fantastic, yeah. That's John Reynolds is my producer. He's also my eldest child's father and my best friend, or one of my best friends, and he is the producer here, and it's really him who's done most of the work on the record, so I almost feel kind of guilty that everyone thinks I've made this great record, and actually it was him. I just turned up and sang. You know.
Now, of all your albums, though, Sinead, which one would you say has the most God stuff in it? Would it be Theology or another one?
I suppose I made a record called Theology, yeah, that was all scriptures. It was a record I wanted to make since I was a kid, actually. And again, ties back into Bob Dylan and everything. And it was all, it's probably the most, I mean, God is all over a lot of my records to some extent. But I suppose the most overtly God ones was the Rasta record, Throw Down Your Arms, and then also the one that I just made songs out of scriptures. And there are two, it's a double album, that one. And one is just voice and acoustic guitar, and that actually is possibly my favorite songwriting that I've ever done. Yeah. It's those songs. Yeah.
All right, so go back to when you were younger. You wanted to be a nun, but became a Kissogram girl instead, and then finally became an ordained Roman Catholic priest. Now, where's the truth in all that? Where's the truth?
No. Let me correct something. I never wanted to be a nun. I was terrified. I knew I had a vocation, right? But I was petrified that God would make me want to be a nun, and I used to pray every night to God, please don't make me want to be a nun, because I knew I'm a woman and I like men, you know? But in Ireland at those times, if you had a vocation, that was your only option. But of course, then when I went to London, I was 17, I came across Rasta people and how they are and how they use music as a priesthood. I began to understand that actually, you know, music and being a musician itself can be your vocation. And I did feel from the time I was a very small child that music was something the Holy Spirit had given me in answer to certain prayers that I was making in terms of, you know, to get me out of particular difficult circumstances that I was in. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So I always associated music with Holy Spirit kind of thing. You know,
so did you become an ordained Catholic priest? I heard that. Is that true?
It is true. It remains true, but it's not something I ever discuss. It's between me and the Holy Spirit.
Okay.
Obeying orders again.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
It's not, as I was saying to Tavis Smiley when I was talking to him, you know, about the Pope's picture or Madison Square Garden or being ordained. These are things that I was asked to do as far as I'm concerned by the Holy Spirit, and that it was not required of me that I should make anyone understand these things. It was merely required that I obey orders and do them and, you know, have that relationship with the Holy Spirit.
It's funny, you know, I've heard that you hate talking... Well, anyone talking to you about tattoos and Jesus, and here I am doing both. That's hilarious.
I don't mind talking about Jesus. I love talking about Jesus, actually. Nobody ever talks to me about Jesus. I would love to talk about Jesus.
Good. Let's go.
Where should we start?
Okay, let's talk about tats first. How many you got, and do you regret any one of them?
No, I have, let me see, I think I have about one, two, let me count them. One, two, three, four, five, six. I think I have six.
Are you standing there naked? Why? I don't understand how you're counting all these.
No, I'm not at all. I'm extremely contraceptively clothed in very furry pajamas.
All right. Do you have one that means the most to you?
Yeah, the Jesus one, obviously, and also the Lion of Judah. Well, the ones that I have, I suppose, are the one on my left shoulder. I have a Rasta Lion of Judah and a quote underneath that says, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Earth's rightful ruler. And then on the other shoulder I've got this thing which is called a Benedict's medal, which is in Catholic mythology it wards off the devil, you know. It's got a cross and some Latin words and stuff. And then of course right in the middle on the heart is the Jesus tattoo, which is my favorite. And the funniest part of that, the irony was, right, it was so painful getting that darn tattoo for 3 hours. It was the only time in my life that praying didn't work.
Did you? I understand you got that done in LA.
Yeah, and it was just like, that was so funny, that part of it. So, but I love it. I really love it. It's the best thing I ever did. I wish I did it years ago. I'm so glad. It was just absolutely beautiful. I love it. It means so much to me. It would take me 1,000 years to explain why it means so much to me, or why it is the picture it is, etc. You know. But,
well, do you want to do you want to take the time to explain it or move on?
No, we should probably move on. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I talked with Bob Carlyle a few years ago. His life sort of spun out of control. Right after his
Bob Carlyle, remind me.
Well, he wrote that song "Butterfly Kisses." It was kind of a big folky country hit over here, and that one song had such an impact in his life, and his life really just kind of spun out of control right after that. Any comparison at all between you and the whole "Nothing Compares" thing?
Oh God! Hey, my life was already out of control. My life was born out of control. You know, it only recently got into control. No, I mean, but joking aside, no, really, my world previous to entering the music business was wilder than anything you can imagine, and prepared me, and was already quite messed up.
Yeah. All right. Here's another quote from you. I love religion, but I think religion has weaknesses. The chief one being that it doesn't understand that it's not God. And a lot of the time, you know, it's not God a lot of the time. There was a God before religion. You know, as much as you and I hate labels, because we both have this iconoclastic thing flowing through our blood. I mean, Sinead, this is probably a painful question. When people ask me, I get bugged because I want to know what's the agenda behind it. What box are you trying to put me in? So let me tick you off the way that people tick me off with this question.
Okay.
What are you? What do you believe?
I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe that it doesn't matter whether you call it Jesus or God or Allah or Jehovah or Buddha or Krishna or Daisy or Mary or Fred. I believe it responds to the human voice. I believe it is part of us and we're part of it, but it is also around us and separate from us. I believe it has only our highest good in mind. I believe it's lonely without us and underemployed. I believe it feels sorry for us, as it says in the prophet Jeremiah, you know, oh, that I might weep for the wounds of my poor people. Oh, that my eyes were a fountain of tears, that I might weep for my poor people. And that it's a character which is very concerned with about us and lonesome without us. And us are, and we need to come to understand at some point, which we will, that we are useless without it. And that quite often, sadly, the image that religions have offered of God has in fact put people off the idea of God. And because of the behavior in the presence of the Holy Spirit of so many religious leaders who actually act as if they don't believe in a God that watches, you know, they don't think that any God is actually watching them doing what they're doing. And I guess so what I am is I'm someone who is passionately on fire about belief in the Holy Spirit. I love human beings. I love people. I believe God didn't make more than one of us for nothing. We're here to care about each other. And I think we need to unleash ourselves and rescue God from religion. I think Jesus needs to be rescued from certain religions. I think the Holy Spirit needs to be rescued. I think the difference between religion and God is religion loves conditionally. God loves unconditionally. Religion spends an awful lot of time dictating to God who it can love and not love. For example, the whole issue of homosexuality and how many religions dictate that God doesn't love, which is a blasphemy to say that God doesn't love homosexual people when God, in fact, created homosexual people. So, you know, there's all this dictating who God can love and doesn't love when the Holy Spirit is a free bird, free to fly and land wherever it pleases. So I'm someone who believes God needs to be rescued from religion. I believe passionately in Jesus, and I believe in the call, in the human voice, and that the Holy Spirit responds to it. And I believe in, yes, before religion there was God. Despite religion there is God, and religion will one day be gone and there will still be God, and the human beings will come to understand that we never needed religion in order to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. All we needed to do is use our human voice. And I pray and hope that one day we'll rescue the Holy Spirit enough to actually get together and call out to it to help us, because politics is useless. Politics is the problem. All these problems we're dealing with, economic or anything else, they're all traceable back to spiritual problems. We don't care about each other. Therefore, our spiritual leaders are failing. And I think I'm someone who believes that it's important that we are to step up and be the emergency spiritual fire force in times where spiritual leaders are failing, and also the Holy Spirit and Jesus and that have been brought into so much disrepute and made a joke of, certainly by my own church, those that run it. And I feel it's important for those artists who believe in the Holy Spirit, and not just artists, but people, to stand up and defend the honour of the Holy Spirit, which has been brought into utter disrepute. And there's no one in the street standing for it. Everybody else has a voice, but nobody in any of it has, the person in any of all of this who has no voice is the Holy Spirit. You have people saying that, oh yeah, God says I can blow you up. Well, no, God didn't say that. Who heard God say that? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you have people say, well, God says I don't love you because you're gay. Well, no, I didn't hear God say that. Where did God say that? Mm. You know, all this rubbish, you know. So I'm someone who passionately believe in the Holy Spirit and love people and want to employ the Holy Spirit to help people.
Okay. Wow. Jeez. Okay, you just took. I've been doing this.
Okay. I hope you don't mind. It took long to explain.
No.
It's actually terribly, terribly important to me. So you can't answer a question like that very briefly. You know, it took a long time to answer.
No, not at all. And if you'd given me a bumper sticker response, it wouldn't have been you anyway, and I wouldn't have appreciated it. You've just taken. I've been doing the show for 9 years, and you've taken the entire 9 years and summarized it in that talk. You just did there. Yeah. So well done. I didn't need to do my show for 9 years. I just needed to listen to you. So do you, I mean, where do you stand with the label? Like when someone comes up to me and says, are you a Christian? I say to them, tell me what you mean by Christian and I'll tell you if I am one. Are you a Christian?
Yeah, I've been trying to find a label. Now, I'm very wary of this because, look, you know, I believe that the Holy Spirit is beyond religion or isms or ists. And when you start putting things into isms or ists or trying to put the Holy Spirit in a box, you get in trouble. The Holy Spirit is a free thing. Like music, you can't touch it. It's intangible. So, you know, when I say I'm a Christian, I don't want that to imply that I don't believe, you know, in everybody else's name for whatever they want to call God. But yes, I do believe in Jesus Christ very much, and I will explain why if you like, very
briefly. Please.
Although it may be slightly painful, so anybody of a very sensitive nature might perhaps want to cover their ears.
Hold on. Anybody of a sensitive nature does not listen to my show, so we're good to go.
Okay. All right, well, I grew up in Ireland. A lot of people who know me will know this, that I grew up in a barbaric child abuse situation. And regularly, daily, I would have been in situations where I've been made to strip naked as a very small girl, lie on the floor with my limbs exposed, be stamped upon, jumped on, bashed with sweeping brushes in my female areas, attempts made to burst my womb, my reproductive system. I'd be lying there having to say over and over, I am nothing, being made to beg for mercy, this type of thing. I actually won a prize at school for curling up in the smallest ball, which I knew I had to do because of these kickings that were happening and what was happening to me. So, but a magical thing used to happen in my mind when I went through these kickings, which was, and I didn't deliberately make this happen, but perhaps thank God for Catholicism and Ireland that, you know, I was in a religious country. Now it had its negative parts, but it didn't, the negatives didn't come into me, only the positives did. So when I was lying on the floor being nearly murdered, into my mind for some reason, and I'll get to explain why I'm telling you this in a moment, yeah. It relates to Cornel West, actually. And in my mind, for some reason, would come this picture of Jesus on the cross on a little hill. I'd be lying on the floor, and in my mind, I'd see Jesus on this little hill on the cross, and his heart would be bleeding, and all this blood would be dripping down his body and down the hill and onto the floor and onto the kitchen floor where I was and into my heart. And that's how I got through the actual kickings as they were going on. I was able to focus on that, and a lot of child abuse survivors will tell you they're able to put themselves outside their body, but for some reason Jesus did that to me. And that's why I love the tattoo I have in particular, which is magically found, because it actually has this heart of Jesus's with blood coming out of it. So it's like, oh my God, it's the very thing, you know. So I am a Christian. I'm someone who would not be here if not for the presence of Christ. There's never a moment ever that Christ has let me down. Any time I've ever asked Christ, whether it was a taxi or whether it was anything major, I've never been let down. But the trick is you have to believe it. It's true what it says in the gospel. It's all science, the human voice, but you must believe you're going to get it and la la la. So yeah, I'm very passionately Christian, but I die, you know, what I can't bear is people going on about Jesus. So I'm trying to make everyone else believe what they believe.
Yeah.
I don't believe it's our business to make people believe what we believe.
So, Sinead, would you say that you're a Christian by choice or by birth?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I forgot to finish that. So I was trying to say to myself lately, you know, I come out of the closet about Jesus. I've always been passionate about Jesus, but I just didn't want to ever say anything because I was, like, so uncool, you know? And then I thought lately, well, what label would I put on the type of Christian I am? And then the other day I did an interview with this guy called Cornell West, who you know, I'm sure.
Yeah.
And I was looking him up on his website, and he was asked what he is, and he said he's a funky Baptist. And what he meant by that, no, but what he meant by that, he explained that there's his version of baptism, and this is something I'm now going to go online and study, is that, and I've come across a couple of people saying this lately, and I don't know much about it, but I've heard this expression, plead the blood of Jesus, and I know what that means, but he was saying funky Baptists are people who find at the blood of the cross what it is that they need and what it is that they... And that's what actually accidentally happened to me there when I was a kid. It was for some reason this blood at this cross. So that really jumped out at me when he said that. I saw it on his site. So I think I'm a funky Baptist. So I'm going to check out the funky Baptist. But that doesn't mean that I'm an ism or an is. I don't like isms or is.
Yeah.
But I think if I, you know, I relate to... The way I relate to Christ is, yes, I'm a funky Baptist.
Okay, but are you... Like, for example, you know the people in the southern states that live in the Bible Belt and they all call themselves Christians because that's where they live. So, you know, I wonder if there's a similar sort of cultural phenomena happening in Ireland. Are you a Christian by choice or by birth?
I'm a Christian because Christ came into me at the very moment that the devil was trying to kill me. Christ came into me without my even asking him at the very moment that the devil was trying to murder me and push the womb out of my body. Right? That's all I can tell you. So when the devil had his foot trying to push the womb out of my body, Jesus Christ saved my life without my even having to ask.
You know, I find it really hard surrendering to God, I guess maybe like holistically in all aspects of my life, because really I am a genius at compartmentalizing. Absolute genius. And I wonder if because of the crap you went through when you were younger, if you're pretty darn good at compartmentalizing as well.
Well, I suppose what I am is I always say, look, that, you know, when you live with the devil, you find out there's a God. And my thing is, look, to be a good, to have what's called a heart for God. I'm someone who has a heart for God, put it that way. And I'm not insubordinate when it comes to instructions from the Holy Spirit. But that does not mean that I'm always a well-behaved person, or that I don't believe you have to be good or perfect or any of these things. In fact, if you say that God is made in man's image, I don't really believe necessarily that God has to be perfect. Although one priest nearly lost his life when I said that to him. But God is evolving as we are. I don't believe God expects us to be perfect. In order to have to be a good Christian or a person with a heart for God, that does not actually mean that you have to be anything other than a flawed human. And it's in your flaws and weaknesses and messed upness, in fact, that you find God. That's exactly where you find the Holy Spirit, in the wilderness, in the desert. You know, and it's only in the wilderness and the desert that you hand yourself over. But once you hand yourself over and try and remember and remind yourself, you know, that the Holy Spirit is there with you and has your highest intention, then you know.
Geez, you'd be a good hang. I'm so bummed that you live way the heck over there. You would be just an absolutely fun hang. Crazy. Okay, here's a quote for you. The Catholic Church is too busy dancing around the little red guy instead of praying to the poor dead guy. I love that one.
Mm.
That came out of you.
Yes, it did.
So Irish, and specifically, let's jump from that into Irish recording artists that seem to be talking more about Africa than Ireland.
Right. Well, I mean, look, it's terribly important that they are talking about Africa. It's beautiful and absolutely beautiful. So let's not underestimate that, obviously. It's just that I think, look, again, it relates back to what we were going on about earlier, so probably shouldn't go on about it too much, but, you know, there are certainly in Ireland we're in this situation where our spiritual system, which has in fact been so much part of our state, is totally corrupt, as has been our state, and we're just discovering this in the last 4 years, that the two arms of our state, which were the church and the state, have been completely corrupt.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Ireland, there's a tradition of Irish artists being very involved in Irish culture and in the forefront of shaping Irish culture throughout history. But that seems to have slipped through the cracks slightly. And I guess I feel strongly about that, that again, like I said, there are times when spiritual leaders are failing and your people are in crisis, your artists are the people who are supposed to be the spiritual emergency fire force. Not to do anything other than, look, I'm a fighty person, you know, whereas those other people we're talking about are more polite. They would get information quicker than I would.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm a fiery one or whatever the way I go on. Like, but, you know, it's not to cause trouble or say anything, but just to, like I say, this thing about being a light that I just believe artists should be, there are times when artists should be a spiritual light when all the other spiritual lights have gone out.
Let's summarize this conversation by saying this. Would Sinead O'Connor rather be stuck on a desert island with, and you have to choose, one of these two couples? You ready?
Oh, God, is that a big couple? Call me old-fashioned.
Eric, no, come on now, come on.
I'm the only girl. I'm the only girl, that's okay. If it's two guys and me, that's okay. I'm the only girl, all right?
All right.
I'm cool with that. We're all adults. But I'm not cool with the girl guy, no. I went through that phase. I went through the girl phase years ago for about 6 weeks.
Okay. All right, here we go. You ready? Here's your choices. Bono and Geldof.
Yeah.
Elner McAvoy and Gavin Friday, or Frank Sinatra and Andrew Dice Clay?
Can I just say that I adore Bono and Geldof, both of them, and there's nothing I would like more than to be stranded on the desert island shagging the arse off the two of them. Quite frankly, for eternity. Yes, in every position imaginable. Yes, indeed.
Oh, you are cheeky. You are cheeky.
I'm sure every woman in America feels the same way. That's right. Who would turn that down?
But listen, here's another quote.
I did actually stupidly once turn Geldof down because I didn't realize he was making a pass at me, and he's always slagging me off about it. And I'm like, oh, shit, I didn't even realize he was making a pass at me. Terrible.
Okay.
Oh, no, you're never going to have me on again now, are you?
Oh, you're funny. No, listen.
I'm going to be so much stronger. Christians love sex, too. Sex is God.
Yes, yes.
And adults, and no one's getting hurt.
No, that's right. Listen, you're a walking quote machine. I think you should print out bumper stickers. Here's another one for you. In your own country, the devil is raping your children, and you say you believe in God. What are you going to do about it? Man.
Well, I think there are times when it's very important, like I say, to just be a light for the Holy Spirit and don't stand waving your Grammy around thanking God for it. And then when there comes a battle in the street for the honor of God, there's tumbleweed. There are times when the Holy Spirit deserves better. And it's, yes, the person in all of the church issue who's had no voice is the Holy Spirit. And yes, I think it's important that artists demand better for the Holy Spirit. And who I was saying that about was artists, particularly who say that they are Christian.
Yeah.
Those artists being quiet on the misrepresentation of Christ and the bringing of Christ into disrepute, the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit, the lying in the presence of the Holy Spirit.
You know,
you can't be silent about these things if you believe in Christ when Christ is being held hostage by these people who claim to be representing Christ who don't actually believe that Christ is watching them.
Well said.
One day they're going to meet Christ.
Well said. You know, it's funny. I think back to...
I just think it's important we have a church that's actually run by people who believe in God.
You think?
I'd love to see artists demanding that. It would be nice, wouldn't it?
It would be.
You know, because, like, really the Holy Spirit deserves better, and so do we, you know, and so does Christ, and, you know... Yes, it's 2012, like.
Yeah, get with it. Doing the research on you, I saw this video. You were on Arsenio Hall, and you were this shy, quiet, wee thing. Still spoke your mind, but shy, quiet, wee thing. I mean, Sinead, how have you changed spiritually over the years, and how have you stayed the same? Do you understand what I mean by that?
Gosh, yeah, it's a good question. It's probably quite hard to answer, but...
For example, I know that having children... changes people, and there's no question, right? But do you think that, like, for example, having kids has made an impact on you spiritually as well?
Oh, Jesus, yes. I mean, God, you can't get closer to God than a baby coming out of you, can you? Holy Mother God, like, that's, like, that's as close as you can get to actually meeting God. Like, yeah, definitely, definitely. But, I mean, look, I'm someone who was there already. I already was there. From the time I was small, I believe I was born as a baby with God. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
In my mind, but yes, having babies, obviously, definitely.
How old is Jake? You had Jake when you were 20. How old's Jake now?
Yeah. 25 in July. No, he'd be 25 in July. I'm not that old. I'm 45. I've got about 4 years left in me.
You know, you are 8 days older than I am. I just thought I'd throw that into the mix.
Oh, really? Oh, gosh, that reeled you out then.
Yeah, I know. I read that on your thing. It has to be, yeah. Listen, how old is Jake?
He'll be 25 in July.
Okay, and is it Roisin? She's, how old is Roisin?
Roisin just turned 16 on the 10th of March, and on the same day, her Shane turned 8.
Right.
And it's also his father's birthday, which is magical. And then I have a son called Yeshua, who is 5.
You know, you'd think that with the name Yeshua that he'd be the real spiritual kid, but apparently it's Shane.
Well, they all are in their own way, but Shane is the priest, yeah. He's a very unusual child. Yes, he's madly in love with Jesus. Now, I never say a word to him, but since he's been like 3 or 4, you know, he's obsessed with Jesus. And like to the extent that, you know, if I ever say that I love the children more than anyone else, he'll get annoyed with me and say, "You're not allowed to love anyone more than Jesus."
Oh, wow.
And he's only 8. and if I say, when I say goodnight to everybody, the bears and, you know, the Lego men and the Star Wars guys, I also have to say goodnight to Jesus and God. And, you know, it's hilarious. He's a very unusual, he's a really strange child, because he asked me when he was about 4, he said to me one day, were you in an earthquake when I was in your tummy? And I said, no. And then when I thought about it, I actually was. I was about 2 weeks pregnant. I was in Malta, and there was an earthquake. And I'd forgotten.
Wow.
And he knew. And he's really strange, child, the way he comes out with these things. Like, driving along in the car a while ago, he says, out of nowhere, he goes, "You know, people's souls are never bad," he said. "It's just their mind goes a bit bad, but their souls are always good." You know?
Wow.
So he's a very spiritualized. Yeah, he's amazing. Like, and I deliberately don't ever force my stuff down the kid's throat. But
I can't wait for Shane to write his first book.
Well, he's the one I'm leaving all my priest stuff to.
Man. You know, Sinead, with the life you've had, I'm sure you've spent, once in a while, you've cried out to God, whether enduring your mother's illness or enduring the loneliness on the road or enduring the heartbreak of love or at the very least.
Or during the happinesses of life. During the happiness of life.
Yeah. And of course, enduring this bipolar stuff. I mean, I've been very frustrated with what I would say, and it sounds like you have had way, way more answers to. Seriously, when I look back on the 30 years of being a Jesus guy, I'm frustrated at what I now look back on in hindsight and say, I just don't see a lot of interactivity between God and myself. And I've been very frustrated with unanswered prayer. Have you ever gone through that? No, never.
I've never not been answered. But can I just clarify something about the bipolar disorder? The fact is that diagnosis was a mistake, and how it was made was highly dodgy, which was, I went to the doctor depressed. He rings the nut house. He says, "Sinead O'Connor's in my office depressed." This is Ireland, by the way. The guy on the phone says, "Well, what I read about her in the paper, I'd say she has bipolar disorder." So that's how the diagnosis was made. When I finally subjected myself for proper diagnosis, it was discovered 3 times that, in fact, there has never been any evidence at all of bipolar disorder. But anyway, back to the more important point. What I suffer from is post-traumatic stress disorder. But more importantly, the other question you're asking, no, I've never, ever not been answered. I think if you're not being answered, you're not doing what Jesus has told you in the Lord's Prayer, which is, you mustn't ask for what you want or your will. You must ask for the Holy Spirit's greatest intention for you. And also, what you're not doing is you're not believing that you're going to get answered. That's the trick it says in Luke, I think, Luke, or one of the Gospels. Anyway, it's all science. You're not believing it when you're asking. You must practice it on little things like taxis and stuff. It's just science. So you're just not asking with faith. Do you know what I mean? And then watch for answers. You know, watch the log flowing past you. Don't just watch, you know, and grab it. Don't just say, "Oh, there's a log flowing past me."
You know, I hesitate doing this because I don't like it when people say this to me. We'll be having a great conversation and someone will say, "Oh, there's this great book I want you to read. It'll have a real good impact." And, you know, they sort of presume that this book is going to rock my life the way that it did theirs. But I don't know if you've heard of this book. But let me just throw this out there. There is a book that I have found the most spiritually healing book I've read in about 15 years, and it's called The Shack. Heard of it?
No.
Anyway, if it sticks in your memory and you think about it, and it's something, it's a fiction book. I just think with the stories
and anything scary in it. I don't like anything horror or scary or too sad, because I can't even watch the news anymore. It makes me cry. I've gotten, when you get to my age, 45, you get a bit emotional about sad stuff on telly, and you can't read sad books or horrible stories or
I understand exactly what you mean. I'm now at the point, being 45, that I now like cats. I don't know what's wrong with me.
I've started blessing myself. That's how I know I'm getting old. When I hear something that I think, oh my God, that's awful, I started blessing myself like a little old lady.
Okay, let me ask you this, and we'll finish with this. And by the way, thank you for your time. It's just been brilliant chatting with you. Absolutely what I would hoped it would have been. I mean, thank you. You just fascinate the crap out of me.
Great for me to get the chance to talk about God, because bloody nobody ever wants to, and it's so interesting to get to.
Well, good. I'm glad we got there. When will Ireland be at peace with themselves?
The same as any other country in the world and the rest of us all people on Earth, when we come to the conclusion, the only sensible conclusion, which is that we are absolutely screwed, pardon me, without the intervention of the Holy Spirit. And we must understand that that spirit has to be found beyond religion and called out to. And once we do that, we'll be laughing.
Do you think that religion is to blame for the oppressive culture vibe in Ireland? Or is that oppressive culture being lifted?
No, I don't think there's any one thing to blame. And I don't necessarily think Ireland is any different than any other country in the world. But I don't think religion is necessarily the only thing to blame. And also, no one is to blame. Look, religion is just evolving as well. They're just people, you know, whatever, you know, forgiveness, la, 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 draw a line, you know what I mean? Let's not bother on blame or why. It doesn't actually matter now. All that matters now is what's the solution. The only solution is the Holy Spirit. Everything else is a waste of time.
I've got nothing else. I have nothing else. I just have so appreciated you and this CD, folks. Sinead O'Connor's latest release, How About I Be Me and You Be You. Brilliant title, brilliant tracks, and even more brilliant production. And we're going to go out with Fourth and Vine, the lead track on this CD. You are a gem, an absolute gem. Thank you.
And then sometime, if you wouldn't mind, I'd love you to do me a favor. The Theology record that we spoke about, the Dublin Sessions side of it, which is just acoustic guitar and voice, my favorite song that I ever wrote is Psalm 33 from that record. It's all, every line of it from Psalm 33. If you would play that sometime, I'd be really happy.
You know what? We will play that within the next 45 minutes of our show. I guarantee
great. It's just called 33. And it has to be the acoustics version of the album, which is called Dublin Sessions. It's a double record. One side is called London Sessions, the other is Dublin Sessions. So it's 33 from the Dublin Sessions.
If you come to Toronto in the next, while I'm still alive, the pints are on me.
Wicked. I will be there soon. We're booking a date, I believe, in May. Somebody told me it was booked the other day, so I will be there soon. I love Canada. I love Canada people, and I can't wait to come back. And may I say hello to the Canada Rastafari community?
Well, yeah, please do. I mean, there's a huge Rastafarian community here in Toronto. Yeah. Huge.
Dread eye, conquering lion eye.
You're a bomb. Thank you. Oh, should I say that to an Irish person? Do you say that you're the bomb? You can't say that to an Irish person, can you?
You can tell an Irishman, but you can't tell him much.
Exactly. Well said. Sinead O'Connor, thank you. Bye.
Nice.
Oh, wow. Well, that works for me.
Wow, that was great.
You would have loved that, huh? You were just licking your chops over there.
I was just drinking it all in, man. When he takes me for a buggy ride,
I will. Like what you've heard? Listen again online at drewmarshall.ca. Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign? Well, what if we gave you a show? The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative advertising concept for the small business owner or charity. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you an opportunity to partner with us, one show at a time. Consider sponsoring one show and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, including a live phone interview. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. If you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with The Drew Marshall Show. Go to drewmarshall.ca for details or call Joy 1250 on 905-845-2821, extension 367. That's 905-845-2821, extension 367.